have to live with the impacts created by the school, and that we are burdened with the monitoring of the school's compliance with conditions, as the city is only responsible for enforcement. We did what we thought we were supposed to do after the 2002 ruling, called the school even after the dedicated line that was part of the 2002 agreement was disconnected, only to learn that the formal comprehensive log, also a condition, has not been kept and apparently would not rise to the level of documentation needed anyway. I hope this testimony makes clear the neighborhood's profound need for a clear reporting, recording, and enforcement mechanism that meets the legal threshold the city requires. Also, as far as something that we've just found out or seen, we have just today been made aware in a letter to the council from Bora, the department with an online reporting form and a phone number for reporting these types of violations exists. We request this information be included in the decision, and we wonder why it's taken so long to provide us with this information.
Thank you, sir. Hi, welcome.
Hi, I'm Jenny, and I've lived at my house on Pine Street for...
What's your last name, Jenny?
My last name is Stenseth.
Thanks.
And I'm relatively new to the neighborhood. I've lived there for 5 years, so compared to some of the other neighbors, I'm new. And I live there with my husband and my 16-month-old daughter. And I live directly behind the school on Pine, where the buses currently double park and idle almost every day. So you can imagine that I'm pleased with the idea that they would be moved off of Pine. However, I question the physical capability of this parking lot to accommodate sometimes up to, I've seen 8 buses parked on that street. More often, I would say the average would be 3 to 5 large charter buses. So I question the wisdom of this parking lot plan for that reason and believe it's flawed for that reason. And I also oppose the lot for the same reasons stated by my neighbors, that we already live among traffic and noise associated with the school, and this parking lot would only further exacerbate those issues. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Hi.
Hi. Christine Yoon, 1915 Southeast Alder. I'm a Buckman activist, and I'm also chair of the Buckman Historic Association. I find myself in a difficult spot because I've been the recipient of the generosity of Central Catholic in the past. They've been very good with sharing their facilities with us for community meetings, and I really do appreciate that, and I love working with their staff. I'm kind of peripheral to this friction between Central Catholic and the immediate neighborhood since I live probably like 6 or 7 blocks away. Over the past 10 years, though, I've often heard about sources of the friction, such as noise, the HVAC, parking issues, parking at special events. And it just seems from listening to all this testimony and also hearing past complaints that, number one, there is sufficient parking in the neighborhood to accommodate their parking needs. Number two, the previous parking management plans haven't been fully implemented. Apparently, part of those plans was a good faith effort on the part of Central Catholic to identify other ways to accommodate parking, such as sharing parking lots with facilities nearby that, you know, have parking needs at different times of the day. And then on learning from the hearing officers are from Douglas Hardy's summary that this parking lot is for student commuters and it's directly across the street from the school. I just feel like that's really coddling them. I mean, they're already driving to school. They can at least walk 4 or 5 blocks. They don't need to have a special parking lot right next to the school. And then the fourth point is that it seems like enforcement is really the issue here. How are you going to verify that a violation was occurring when people call in and say it was? You know, how do you video the bus idling and you have to say what time it was idling? And, you know, it just doesn't seem practical.
I need you to summarize.
Okay, I'm summarizing right now. So I feel that a surface parking lot, no matter how landscaped, is not physically compatible with a neighborhood of historic single-family houses, and it will severely impact the appearance and livability of Buckman. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Hi.
Hi, my name is Patricia Sweeney. I live at 2335 Southeast Pine Street. I'm directly across from the school. I'd like to make sure that I can draw a picture here. It's not just a school, it's an event center as well. I think if it was just a school, that has a certain thing, but there's this relentlessness to it. I think if it were more contained and not so relentless, morning, day, evening, weekend, it's the relentlessness of it that really is part of the issue. The other thing that I would like to state is that in the morning when the kids are coming to school, the staff monitors the corner in front of my house, and it is a perfectly wonderful system. So there is a functioning, adequate, wonderful system from my experience because the staff is standing on Southeast 24th and Pine Street and monitoring the traffic. That we are told that there are plenty of spots in the neighborhood to contain the parking for their school. It's an issue of getting those cars to those spaces. They do it adequately during the school hours. They fail on weekend and evening events. There is no one standing there monitoring the traffic to make sure they don't park in front of my and my neighbor's houses, but they actually park on Stark Street. That they actually park in front of Lone First Cemetery, that they actually park down 26th along Lone First Cemetery. They are parking in front of the neighbor's house because there is nobody out there monitoring and making sure that they get to those parking spaces. I have had many instances where cars are parking all the way in my street and there are 200 of their token parking spaces that are not being used. They have an entrance for these events that are right in the neighborhood. If you look at the diagrams that Douglas Harding showed, their main entrance should be for their events so that people, the parking in Stark Street and Lone Street is where people will park because it's close to the main entrance. The entrance that's in the parking lot for the events creates the second problem. The third thing is they tell us that the students have community service hours that are required. These are commuter students coming into our neighborhood that are not connected to the direct neighborhood. These are students who are doing their community service hours, picking up garbage and Lone First Cemetery or down at St. Joseph Nursing Home, but their contention and their problem is right here. So why can't those students serve the neighborhood with their community service hours by patrolling the weekend and evening events to get those cars to those spots?
How long have you lived there?
I've lived there for 10 years, and I've gone to the meetings for 10 years. And the second piece of those 10 years is I have consistently come up with creative ideas that have been ignored. I really love my neighborhood. The signs that they have for our in front of our yards do not work, and they're ugly. I've asked for the art students to create something. I've asked for student council to come to those meetings and be very real participants so the students themselves are doing conflict resolution with the neighborhood.
Thank you. Thank you all very much. Appreciate it. Next door.
The last one who signed up for supporting is Timothy Askin.
Mr. Askin.
Hello, my name is Timothy Askin. I live at 934 Southeast 15th Avenue, and I am a member of the Buckman Community Association Board. I live at some distance from the school, but I've been asked to speak to specific land use regulations that we suspect Central Catholic will raise. They have insinuated in previous communications that they tend to sue under federal law if the city does not grant their conditional use permits. However, the law they cite, the Religious Land Use and Institutionalized Persons Act, requires a substantial burden on their religious exercise. Lack of parking in no way is a substantial burden on religious exercise. Furthermore, the hearings officer decided in the final decision that the creation of the surface parking lot does, quote, not significantly impact the residential R5 character of the surrounding neighborhood. The only reason this could be the case, that it does not significantly impact the residential character of the neighborhood, is because Central Catholic chose to demolish those homes 30 years ago in hopes of getting their parking lot that the city has appropriately still continued to deny.
Thank you very much. All right, we will now hear from the principal opponent of the appeal. Welcome.
Good afternoon, members of the City Council. My name is Steve Janik. I'm a lawyer representing Central Catholic, and more importantly, I'm a graduate of Central Catholic. With me today is Chris Lynn of Bora Architects, Principal Architect Todd Mobley of Lancaster Engineering, our traffic engineer, and then John Harrington, the president of the school, Jim Mountain, the board chair, and Tony Lineweber, a board member. For over 70 years, Central Catholic has provided college preparatory education at this site for over 11,000 graduates. In the last decade, the enrollment has been between 800 and 850, and that will continue if you approve our request. Central's graduation rate is nearly 100%, and 97% of its graduates go on to college. It has a diverse student body, 30% are minority students, over half the students are on financial aid, and has a significant number of learning disabled students. This year's graduating class, in their 4 years, produced over 28,000 hours of community service. That's 140 hours for each student for each of those 4 years. That's in excess of the 80 hours per year per student the school requires. And that included seven major Buckman Community Service projects. Central is the only co-ed Catholic education opportunity within the city of Portland. It's an integral part of the Buckman neighborhood. And as said by one of our opponents, we host Buckman Neighborhood Association meetings. Now, in order to maintain that educational success, Central needs to modernize its plant. As is unfortunately the case with many schools, the school facilities are significantly in need of improvement. As Chris will explain to you with some visuals in a few minutes, the classrooms are too small. Some are in the basement. Handicap needs are not met. The music room is a locker room. There are too few meeting rooms. There's no language lab. The needs of students with learning disabilities are not being met by not having a special place. The list of deficiencies goes on and on. And in order to fulfill the mission of Central Catholic, which is a Catholic college preparatory education and a quality education to a diverse group of students regardless of income, Central must modernize. And that's why all the funds for this modernization are coming from alums who are donating. The modernization is not extravagant. Even after that, we're only going to add one classroom. Student size will still be at 26, and many, many schools in this metro area have class sizes that are even smaller. The modernization is not extravagant. It won't lead to greater enrollment. It's intended to serve our current level of enrollment. Now, the code standard is pretty clear, and the hearings officer applied it correctly. You have to determine whether or not what we're requesting here is going to have a significant adverse impact on the neighborhood. As I said, we're only going to add one classroom. The number of school events, which I'll talk about in more detail, will decrease, not increase. If you look at the record in this case, the hearings officer's 53-page decision, the staff report, and the report and commentary of every single bureau that has reviewed this has supported this request, as well as the request for the surface parking lot, which we will get into more detail later on. Now, you've heard complaints from the neighbors. What's really interesting about where we stand today is having handled the hearing in front of the hearings officer, we heard complaints about the parking lot, but the primary complaint at that time was from the neighbors was there's inadequate on-street parking. They're not able to find parking when they need it in front of their houses. The remarkable thing about where we're at today is the neighbors have now conceded that there is adequate on-street parking and have turned their attention to the implications for the neighborhood of this surface parking lot. We were prepared to spend time today making you clearly aware of the evidence in the record, confirmed by PBOT, confirmed by the hearings officer, of the adequacy of the on-street parking, but today they have said that's not the issue. That issue has now, I think, been put to rest by their own statements. Let's talk about the surface parking lot. First of all, let's get some facts straight. The surface parking lot is 9,700 square feet. The basis for the desire to have the surface parking lot is driven by two things. The complaints of the neighbors about having inadequate on-street parking. This will create more off-street parking for vehicles occupied by three students and for people coming to events. The second thing we heard in the first hearing was the neighbors complaining about the sound of the buses. You heard someone mention eight buses. Actual reality is 2 to 4 buses a day during portions of the school year. During better weather months, it's 4 per day round trip. other months, two per day during school day round trips. The complaints they have made, we have listened to. Those complaints are that the buses make noise. The students, shockingly, make noise getting on and off of the bus while they wait there for 20 minutes or whatever to load. They load on Oak Street at this present time. There are other areas where the neighbors have suggested they should load. None of them work. We thought that the surface parking lot, and Peabot agrees, is an excellent solution to those complaints. Now, on the issue of what we are trying to do here, we have agreed over the course of many years to something that no other high school in the city has, a good neighbor agreement with the neighbors that's been in effect since 1985. In addition to that, as part of these hearings, as we've incrementally made small expansions, we've agreed to a 1985 city-approved parking and traffic plan, a 2002 city-approved parking and traffic plan. Those have become conditions of approval, and accordingly, they have the full force of effect of the code and are enforceable. No other high school in Portland, and you'll hear from others other than me on this, have agreed to any of those kinds of measures to be good neighbors. As for the violations, the hearings officer heard all of that, and the hearings officer simply concluded there was no evidence of any violations, in fact, except for one noise issue, which was promptly remedied and solved about 10 years ago. We've heard about the expansion of events. Let me make this very clear. The person who referred to a prior approval that said we would eliminate all CYO football games, that's not correct. All the report at that time in 2002 says, the hearings officer concludes, that Central has therefore agreed to eliminate some non-student events and work to mitigate the remaining events, which is exactly what we've done. Today, we have proposed, and at the hearings officer stage, we proposed going beyond what we have done in the past. We will eliminate all city volleyball events, all CYO basketball events, all Concordia University events, all freshman football events. We'll reduce the CYO football games by 50%. We're eliminating the school dance. And the hearings officers reported pages 24 to 25 lists a number of other operational measures that we are taking to reduce the demand for on-street parking from events. Now, the issue of the surface parking lot. We thought this was a solution, and now we are being told it's a bad thing. That surface parking lot, those houses were torn down 24 years ago with city demolition permits. Central Catholic owns three other parcels that are immediately adjacent to that lot. Those are rental houses. This notion that Central is somehow going to creep over time into the neighborhood. Let's point out the fact that that lot has remained unused for any purpose for 25 years. We haven't expanded beyond our campus in 7 decades. If you look at the block faces that surround our campus, they're all built out. There's no land there to build and encroach anywhere else. They referred to the fact that we somehow were going to try to do something with this lot before in a prior conditional use application. We just listed it as a possible future use. That's all it was. There was no further pursuit of that. Given the fact that we own no other land other than those three houses, and to make our point absolutely clear, we committed to the hearings officer and we commit to you. We will record a restrictive covenant legally enforceable by the city that those three parcels will remain in residential use. There is no sure legal way to make our intentions clear than that, and that is what we are committing to. Now, what will the surface lot do? First of all, you'll see pictures of what it'll look like, which will be a substantial improvement. But all buses going to and from the school, and we have to concede that schools need to have buses to transport students to off-site activities, those buses will, instead of parking, double parking on narrow streets like Pine and 24th in front of neighbors' houses, the buses will pull into that lot, turn off their motors, wait for the students, and when full, will then depart. Those streets will no longer be congested. Whatever noise emanates will no longer be in front of neighbors' front porches. In addition to that, there'll be 15 stalls that will be used by three persons occupying each car for 45. In addition, for events, there will be additional parking there for events to take more cars off the surface streets in front of the neighbors. The lot will be unlighted. We have no plans to light the lot. We have looked at every other alternative to deal with the bus issue, and as you will see shortly, there are no better other alternatives. That's why the surface lot is not just something we proposed, but PBOT wants to see that surface lot to ameliorate the on-site parking situation and to get the buses off those streets. And the hearings officer has agreed with it, and why? It's simply the best solution. And I'm going to turn to Chris Lynn to give you more detail on that issue.
Thank you. I'm Chris Lynn with...
Can I just ask Steve?
Yes.
Is this restrictive covenant new information?
No.
Oh, okay.
We said that at the hearing. We said that at the hearing. And in addition, one other final point. For those who want to complain, city's website points out that the city is available to enforce regulations and conditions of approval tied to land use review cases. The city code compliance number is 503-823-2633. And in the last couple of days, Central did what it does every year, which is to pass out leaflets in the neighborhood with its hotline telephone number. Chris, go ahead.
Thank you. I'm Chris Lynn with Bora Architects, representing Central Catholic High School. I think Steve did a great job describing in words why the modernization is so critical to the school. But I think, you know, a picture is worth 1,000 words as well. And you can see on your screen some of the existing conditions, and you can see the challenges that the building presents in terms of flexibility, technology, small size classrooms, many of which are smaller than Portland Public School standards. The school lacks flexible social and multi-use spaces that are common in new buildings that really results in overcrowding in the halls. There is inadequate space for the kind of counseling, both academic and otherwise, that is really a requirement of a 21st century education. And there are many substandard spaces. You'll hear testimony later from a music student as to what it's like to practice in spaces under the bleachers or to have an art classroom in essentially what is an old locker room. So when Central approached us about 2 years ago, and having worked in this city for over 20 years, I made a commitment, Central made a commitment to engage the neighbors in the process early, often, frequently, and on a regular basis. And as a result, and you can see on your screen, over a dozen meetings since January of 2010. So very strong engagement with the neighbors. And what we heard from them consistently were three things. On-street parking and congestion is a big issue for us. The number and timing of events is a big issue. And the enforcement of the Good Neighbor Agreement is an issue. And because we were listening, we took all this to heart. And in direct response to what we heard from the neighbors, Central Catholic has voluntarily agreed to enact all of these new measures called the 2011 Traffic and Parking Mitigation Measures. These are above and beyond the current Good Neighbor Agreements and represents a level of commitment that no other public high school in the city reaches in terms of their level. In direct response to some of the traffic and parking issues, Central is voluntarily funding a series of right-of-way improvements meant to alleviate some of these conditions. We're going to widen 24th Street along our entire frontage. We're going to construct curb extensions to increase pedestrian safety. We're adding angled parking on 26th and Stark. We're relocating entries away from across the street from houses to more public areas. We're creating drop-off zones. And finally, we're adding a carpool, bus, and event parking lot in this location right here. So let me run through how the parking lot operates. It's typically, on a typical day, it's for 15 cars. They will be limited to carpools of three or more, which means there's a total capacity of 45 cars that would otherwise be making single trips to the school, and those are 45 cars that would not be parking in the neighborhood. During the bus pickup time, you can see we can stack anywhere from two to four buses in there. which will take them off of their double park situation on Pine Street. And Steve described very clearly how the engines would be turned off and how this really, I think, is a great solution and a safe solution to dealing with event buses. During larger events, the Central will be hiring an attendant to stack cars in the parking lot, taking 35 cars off of what would be, otherwise they'd be parking in front of neighbors' homes. This is a photograph of the existing lot. You can see the improvements that we're making. We'll actually add trees, add shrubbery, have extensive screening, and really mitigates all kind of adverse visual impacts that you might associate with a parking lot. It actually looks, I think, looks pretty good. So the neighbors, Susan Lindsay, called me after the hearings officer's report came out and informed me that Buckman was now against the surface parking lot. And so you can see when the lot is removed, these are 40 cars shown here all along Stark that would be dislocated into the neighborhood. And Stark's already crowded with parking. So these are cars that are going to get dispersed even further into the neighborhood.
I need you to wrap up.
Okay, I'm on my last slide. Susan suggested that bus stacking could be done on Stark. We've reviewed that with PBOT and with our engineers. We believe that is an unsafe situation. Stark is a narrow, high occupancy, high vehicle street, and is simply not safe for cars, pedestrians, or bicyclists to stack buses on Stark Street.
And finally, please join with the staff and the hearings officer and give Central the chance to modernize and to fit in better with the neighborhood with all the conditions that we've proposed and agreed to. Thank you.
Questions, discussion from Council, Commissioner Fish.
Mr. Janik, I think I have at least two questions. First is, in the prior testimony, some neighbors were concerned about potentially negative uses of the parking lot, and I'm assuming that's largely when it is not used for a school purpose, so after hours and on weekends. Does the school have any plans to how they would use the parking lot on non-school hours and how they would regulate the parking lot?
On non-school hours, when there are people at the school, people would go and make sure that there are no inappropriate activities going on. We can't police the lot 24/7 because when we're not there. When there are events going on, the lot will be in active use. During the course of the day, school day, there will be cars parked there. There will be people coming and going. You can look down on the lot, so to speak, from the school. It's a 40 or 50-foot walk, and we can establish a regular patrol to make sure that nothing is going on. What we can't guarantee you, of course, Commissioner, is when there's no one at the school, the activities that might go on there.
So I'm just curious, who would be allowed to park there on, let's say, the weekends when there are no school activities planned?
Only be school people who are permitted to park there, students.
Okay.
I mean, we're not going to open it up to the general public.
Okay.
There won't be any paid parking. If there is a weekend event, there would be a monitor there to make sure that these are event attendees. When we have events, for example, we send out information to prospective attendees. For example, if it's a grandparents' day or something, we'll send out an email or a paper flyer explaining where to park, giving directions, telling them that's where they should park, and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. In my neighborhood, which is the Grant Park area, we have lots of parking lots, and there are also places where we host farmers markets and do other community events. So this would, this has no plans of that kind.
No plans.
Other than whatever the school negotiates with the neighborhood on a case-by-case basis.
I mean, if over time, if the lot is built and the neighborhood would like during non-school, non-event times to use that for activities like that, you know, we're certainly open to that. But we're not anticipating any program other than using it for the purposes we outlined to relieve the neighborhood from having the buses on the streets and to provide more off-street parking.
Thank you. And also, one of the memos in my file refers to the Federal Religious Land Use and Institutionalized Persons Act of 2000. actually have some familiarity with this in another context, and I just wanted you to give you a very brief chance to tell us why, to what extent do you think this act applies to the parking lot, if at all?
I don't think it does. Okay, and you. Let me explain, Commissioner. As a lawyer, you will understand.
Recovering lawyer.
My responsibility. We need, as lawyers, to build the record in our case. At the hearing below, some neighbors were testifying that our modernization request should be turned flat down unless we built a multi-story, below-grade parking facility under our football field, which would have an cost estimated by the architects of $11 million, which exceeds the entire cost of our modernization program.
Okay.
It is anticipation of those kinds of propositions that I need to build an adequate record.
Protect the record, but
yes.
On the face of it, I didn't see an application, but it will be part of your record on appeal if necessary.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
How does the school intend to create this car sharing parking only, carpooling?
There are better people from the school to answer that than me, John, or?
Well, I think right now.
Come on up here. This is John Harrington,
yeah, I guess
president.
So. How do you assure it goes to people that have two other riders in their cars and all that?
Good afternoon. I'm John Harrington, president here at Central. Our deans, Aaron Homburg and Laura Yeager, oversee the supervision of those students who drive to school and register to permit their cars to park in the neighborhood or make sure that they're in the appropriate spots. I would anticipate that what we would do is probably have specific stickers for those kids or staff members, I suppose, for that matter, who are carpooling with three or more in their car, so that those cars that are in the parking lot during the day, we can verify who they are and that they are our kids or our staff with the appropriate number of people in the cars.
So you will verify there are actually two other riders at least.
Sure. They would have to come forward at the beginning of the school year, indicate that they are going to have three or more in their car. We would verify that, give them probably a different colored sticker or something that would be appropriate. And we could easily patrol that during the course of the day because it's right across from the front door.
All right. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Mayor, can I ask the applicant or staff?
Staff.
Okay.
We'll now hear from opponents of the appeal who wish to testify.
We have five people signed up. The first four, please come on up, are Emily Watala, Natalie Osborne, Charles Hunter, and Julius Gawowski.
Hi, welcome. Thanks for waiting. Glad you're here.
Yes.
Who would like to go first?
I will.
All right.
Good afternoon. My name is Emily Rose Whittla, and I am presently a senior at Central Catholic High School, the younger sister of a graduate, and the granddaughter of a 1953 alumni. I am compelled today to speak to you about the positive things that my classmates and I strive to do for our surrounding community. As students at Central, we are all required to do 20 hours of community service a year. Not service for our school, but service for the community, some of which is done in the Buckman neighborhood. Our student body actively participates in the Buckman neighborhood cleanup and tutors struggling students at Buckman Elementary School. We clean up and lay flags on veterans' graves in the Lone Fir Cemetery. We are also found visiting the elderly at Laurelhurst Villa and serving meals at the St. Francis Dining Hall. We are all committed to our local community. Last year's senior class did 29,000 hours of community service. That is more than 100 hours per graduate. Also, as a school, we had 114 volunteers do a total of 1,522 hours of community service in the Buckman neighborhood last year. I would also like to emphasize that Central Catholic stresses to all of its students the importance of being good neighbors and lessening the impact of our shared parking. Many students, including myself, carpool to school every morning. Additionally, driving students register their car with the school and hang parking tags to help alleviate a problem if there is an unhappy neighbor. The deans make it very clear where parking is allowed in the surrounding areas and where we should not be parking. Maps and diagrams are printed in the front of every student's daily planner. A student cannot park around the school unless they have met with the deans about registering their vehicle and have received a parking map. As a student body officer who has attended a Buckman neighborhood meeting, I can honestly tell you that we as a group have made concessions and have given up evening events in an effort to soothe neighborhood relations. An example of this was the canceling of Flicks on the Field, a movie event that was planned and canceled with great disappointment just this last June. The student body officers came to the conclusion to cancel the event as a courtesy to the surrounding neighbors. We are making an effort to be good neighbors. My personal feeling is that by adding parking stalls to the two lots adjacent to and owned by the school would only help to alleviate the neighborhood parking impact. The school plans on making these additional stalls only available to carpooling students. A teacher will monitor the lot and only allow in students with three or more people in the car. An added bonus is the discussion of having athletic buses load and unload in the parking area as well, again, lessening congestion on surrounding streets. Central Catholic High School, which has proudly sat on 24th and Stark for nearly 75 years, is soon to be the high school from which I graduate. I am extremely proud of what it stands for and what kind of community-minded students it produces. Central Catholic's academics, community service, and formation of civic-minded students is something I am honored to be a part of. It is my hope that the impression of Central Catholic is that of a positive one. We are a group who is striving to grow and improve not only our school, but the local community. Thank you very much for your time and consideration.
Thank you. Hi.
My name is Natalie Osborne. I'm the assistant superintendent in the David Douglas School District. I offer two perspectives today, the first one being in the role of an assistant superintendent in the David Douglas School District. As you know, David Douglas has one high school with over 3,100 students, three middle schools, and nine elementary schools. And while all of those facilities have parking lots, at special events, evening events, or events where we invite community members to attend, parking is never enough. And our constituents, students, and families are relegated to parking in the streets. We have worked hard to make sure we advertise with our community members and make sure that we're consistent with how we make sure that people know that there are events coming, that there is going to be crowded and busy streets with parking. This still is difficult for neighbors, but in an event to try to be a good neighbor, we have always tried to communicate and listen to complaints. And as the assistant superintendent, I often get to address those complaints. One of the things I wanted to bring to the attention today was, as was stated earlier, Central Catholic is, in my knowledge, the only school in this area that has any kind of good neighbor agreement with their community around parking and understanding of use of facilities. David Douglas is a large district, as I've stated, and as much as we try to be good neighbors and as much as our community is glad to be part of that community and proud to be a neighbor, it is difficult and it is a strain on them. So I commend the fact that Central Catholic does have a good neighbor agreement, and I know that that makes a positive difference for their community. Additionally, we have, as I stated, over 3,100 students at the high school, and while there are parking lots for those students to park in during the day, oftentimes they do park off campus because it's easier to get out after school and not have to be caught in the fray of the parking lots. We try to monitor that. We try to make sure that, again, our students are being good neighbors, but that's also a strain that even during the day we see happening, not just specifically for evening events. Finally, I wanted to talk as a former Central Catholic teacher and coach, being well aware of the fact
Your time is up. Is the issue of David Douglas part of the record?
It's de novo.
So, quick summary on your part.
So what I wanted to emphasize was the fact that as a former Central Catholic teacher and coach, being well aware of the fact that parking has been a long historical issue in that neighborhood, I know that Central Catholic is committed to trying to be a good neighbor with their good neighbor agreement. And while parking is an issue around all schools, I know that Central Catholic has tried to be a good partner in that.
Thank you. Sir?
Good afternoon, Council. My name is Julius Kikwasi, and I'm a senior at Central Catholic. I drive to Central every day in a carpool and found myself excited at the prospect of a parking lot, which is included in the school's planned renovation. The idea that the parking lot will be accessible to those with three or more students in the car would undoubtedly increase the number of carpool vehicles at Central. The school is very clear and concise about the parking rules, and after discussing the idea with my peers, they immediately began to think of people in their area they could bring to school to take advantage of the parking lot. One may wonder why I, as a senior, would care about the renovations as I will be graduating this June. I had a brother, Domus, who graduated from Central Catholic in 2009, and have a younger brother, Darius, who will be a member of the class of 2020. And Central Catholic devotes time to developing a full human being by focusing not only on one particular area of one's development, but various aspects, academically, physically, and mental, emotionally. Students at Central attend school each day to enrich themselves academically, but Central students perform tens of thousands of community service hours each year. As a former member of the Buckman neighborhood myself, I recall spending time while my parents worked at the Buckman School as Central Catholic volunteers helped look after me, and have performed service hours at the St. Francis Dining Hall on 12th and Stark. Another aspect of the school's renovation that excites me is the inclusion of the music rooms. I play piano and guitar myself, and the school jazz band and choir contribute to the school in many different ways. These programs, as well as students who wish to simply practice music, must currently do so in what was once the school's PE locker room, and it's a struggle to learn and perform in such an adequate facility. I wish that I had the opportunity to play in a facility like those I've seen and heard about from friends at different schools. When I'm practicing and hear sounds reverberating off old locker room walls, I wonder how an improved facility would help the quality of my own musicianship. The school is definitely at a disadvantage, and I'm concerned students may look to go elsewhere for their musical education. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Hello.
Hi, afternoon. Charles Hunter. Currently, I'm part of the administration team at Grant High School. Been at Grant High School for the last 22 years. Been a teacher for Portland Public Schools for about 37 years. Worked in just about all the buildings in the district. We have no football field there at Grant, but we're having a football game there this Friday. There will be a lot of buses and cars and visitors coming in. All of them will be parking on the street because we have no parking facility. There is no parking for students. I've heard that people have said that students were able to park on the campus. Out of the 22 years I've been at Grant, there has never been no parking for any students on the premises there. And with the Good Neighbor Agreement, I have called many of the vice principals that are now working, some that have retired. I've talked with SROs in this district and out of the district. All of them have indicated that they have never heard of a written Good Neighbor Agreement for this to be in place. They were pretty amazed by it and thought it was a good thing that they were doing this, but none of them had never heard of a written Good Neighbor Agreement. My personal observation as a grandparent of a student that attends Central Catholic, prior to the time my granddaughter went there, I was always impressed when I drove by there and saw how there were people out controlling the traffic and doing other things. And I said, oh, man, this is good that the Neighborhood Association would be that involved. And then as I got there, I found out that the staff members were doing that. And so I am very impressed with what Central Catholic is doing, and I support them fully.
Thank you, sir. Thank you all very much. Appreciate it. All right.
Last person was Dan Kearns.
Oh, great. Mr. Kearns, thanks for waiting.
Thank you for waiting. For the record, my name is Daniel Kearns, and my address is 2123 Northeast 21st Avenue. I'm a parent of a sophomore at Central Catholic. My son, Gabe, we adopted him from the Ukraine 10 years ago, put him through public school all the way through eighth grade. And at the end of public school, at the end of eighth grade, it was clear he had some learning problems, some behavioral problems, so we put him in Central Catholic. And all last year and so far this year, it has been a godsend. It's an amazingly supportive place. He also benefits from after-school activities, cross-country, track, and he swims on the school swim team. I'd also point out that we live approximately 2.5 miles away from the school. And while we're not in the Buckman neighborhood, he commutes by bicycle every day, spring, summer, winter, and fall, day and night. And we, from the very beginning, were made very aware of this neighborhood, Good Neighbor Agreement, the arrangement with the neighborhood association, the parking restrictions, and from every newsletter, every email, as of last night's back-to-school night, notices are sent to all parents about these parking restrictions, where to park and where not to park. And it is my observation and my practice that this is a very serious matter for this school, and they do everything they can to monitor this group of parents primarily, which seems to be the problem. I think listening to the testimony today and looking at the record, it's the worst kept secret in this case that parking is a problem in this neighborhood. And it seems to me that what's proposed here in this very narrow modification of a master plan, that it will improve the situation, that it will make it easier on the neighbors given their complaints. And as a land use appeal, you know that your decision is governed quite strictly by the approval criteria. Those criteria, this whole plan was analyzed by PDOT, by BDS staff, found it can be consistent with those criteria, with 12 conditions of approval. The hearings officer heard all this testimony, evaluated, you have that before you, impose those 12 conditions. And to differ from that, you'll have to find that this plan will significantly impact the livability of this neighborhood. And I don't think it will. I think it will improve things. And I urge you to approve this plan and to deny the appeal.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. We'll now hear from the we'll hear a rebuttal by the applicant. Sorry, appellant. I'm kind of jet-lagged.
Linda Gerber again. I will not repeat my address. Buckman Community Association and the neighbors applaud the school's educational mission and its plan to modernize. We're in essential agreement with the master plan, with one exception, well, actually two. One is the parking lot, and secondly is we would like some language included in the master plan that explicitly tells us how to report complaints, and so we'll be assured that we'll have a record of complaints and have an enforcement. What the BCA neighbors are asking for is a very modest change to the plan. I could rebut some of the statements that the school's agents have just made, and I will do some of them. I don't have time to do all of them. Mr. Janik's testimony that there has been a hotline and it's been that information has been provided every year is not correct. The hotline was disconnected, but the neighbors did receive last night on their porches a notice that there is a new hotline now. So we're happy to hear that, but it's not true that that's always been in place, and it is evidence, the fact that it's not, evidence that the school doesn't abide by or adhere to its commitments as they claim. I also want to make it clear that the neighbors have not complained about the adequacy of parking on our streets. The complaints during the appeal and currently focus on the school's failure to comply with the traffic management and parking plan. We understand that currently about 30% to 40% of their students are carpooling. We're not sure how this small lot is going to actually increase carpooling, but we do think that we'll have a tremendous impact on 24th Street and Oak Street, because probably the students who are carpooling and certainly all the visitors will be headed for that lot looking for a place to park, and it will become essentially a staging, those two streets will become staging lanes for cars who want to park close to the school during events to circle around until they can find that available spot. We've all seen that happen in parking malls, shopping mall parking lots, and we think that's what's going to happen here. You know, in addition to my role on the BCA, I'm also the grandmother of a Central Catholic student, so it pains me to be here opposing any part of this master plan. I'm also the president of Portland Community College's Sylvania campus. I personally have experience with how to manage parking of an educational facility. I, too, get the telephone calls when the neighbors aren't happy because our students are parking in their areas. So my day job as the campus president in a Southwest Portland Community College that serves over 33,000 students gives me some level of expertise in this matter. PCC is surrounded by neighbors. Those neighbors are concerned with our students and our visitors parking in their neighborhoods. And as we've grown 30% in the last 4 years, well, we haven't added parking. What we have done is managed parking. We work closely and in good faith with our neighbors, and we are very attentive to the good neighbor agreement we have with our neighbors to ensure that it's enforced. So we have been, and we believe Central Catholic can seriously manage its parking without requiring this parking lot. Yes, it takes time, money, and commitment to manage parking instead of building parking lots. But Central Catholic has able administrators who can do that. Mayor Adams and commissioners, decide today in favor of well-managed transportation and parking, not in favor of a parking lot. Delay the appeal, delay the permit until Central Catholic works with neighbors to iron out an agreement for traffic management that will work for us and for them. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I'd like to ask a question.
Staff or to this witness? Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Linda?
Commissioner Leonard has a question for you.
So I wanted to give you the opportunity to kind of know where I'm at this point so that you can disabuse me of any of the conclusions I may be making.
Okay.
So I'm struggling throughout the hearing to try to understand how the creation of this 15-space parking lot that will be allowed on the condition that at least three students be in the car negatively impacts the livability in the neighborhood. And let me give you my intuitive thinking on this. And just so you know, the only information I have on what it is that we're discussing today comes from the hearing. So I came in here really with a clean slate. But it strikes me as counterintuitive intuitive for the neighborhood to claim that there's a negative impact on the neighborhood if one assumes that there's up to 45 cars that are currently parking on residential streets that will reduce the lot would reduce that amount by if you assume each of the students drove there in their own car. That probably isn't practically the case, but in any event, I would think that at least 15 cars that are currently parking on the streets would be parking in this lot. So help connect for me your argument that that somehow diminishes the quality of the neighborhood.
Well, let's look at the bigger picture beyond just where people are parking. Currently, if the good neighbor agreement were monitored and better, students wouldn't be parking in the there are areas in the neighborhood streets that they're not allowed to park on, but they do park on them and visitors park on them, and so that needs.
We've had no testimony to that. This is the first I've heard that from either side.
Yeah, well, Oak Street is one of them. In fact, that slide that you saw that the school put up, it said there was a picture of a sign that said, we have an agreement not to park on this block. So there are blocks that in the good neighbor agreement, students are not supposed to park on. There is parking available that does not create a negative impact on the neighborhood. And according to Mr. I think his name is Livingston's traffic management report, there are adequate spaces in those areas that students could be and visitors could be parking in. I mean, only 85% of available parking when you take out those areas that the school has agreed not to park in, only about 80, I think they said 83% is used. And so there's, you know, around 20% of available parking. So the parking lot is not, essentially not needed if the parking management plan is implemented and followed. But the bigger picture is, how does this parking lot affect the livability of the neighborhood? Well, these are very small blocks, and in East Portland, and taking up 10,000 square feet to put a parking lot on one of those blocks impacts how we experience living in that neighborhood. Now, instead of having a residential block, we have a block that has a big, ugly parking lot, and as one of the testifiers said, doesn't matter how many trees you put around it, it's still a big, ugly parking lot, and cars will be heading for that. It will increase traffic. It will not decrease the traffic in the neighborhood as cars head for that parking lot on 24th Street and on Oak Street to get to it. I expect that cars will be circling around. There will be activity in those parking lot, in that parking lot that currently does not exist, which includes cars idling, buses idling. Right now, buses are idling on Pine Street. Why do we think that if the school can't get them to turn their engines off and not idle when they're on Pine Street, that it can get them to turn their engines off and not idle when it's on in this parking lot? There will be noise, there will be lights, maybe not parking lot lights, but certainly lights in the evenings, as this is a huge event center, as visitors come. It will affect the livability in a very negative way of our neighborhood.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Here, can you bring staff up for a
second? Staff, could you come back up? You can return.
Thank
you.
Thank
you. Your seat. Appreciate your testimony. Commissioner Fish.
Thank you. Couple of questions. The attorney for the applicant said that they were prepared to, or have done, or prepared to file restrictive covenants on the two rental properties to provide some assurance that they will not be demolished or used for some other purpose. Is that something that, since that's now in the record, does that become a condition of approval, or can we affirmatively make that a condition of approval?
Well, I guess my first comment would be, because under this, if this plan is approved, those lots are not even within the boundary of the conditional use master plan, so there's no way that today, tomorrow, or 10 years from now that they could use those lots for anything associated with the school, because it's not within the boundaries of the master plan. So, you know, I guess my immediate response is, there wouldn't be a need for that restrictive covenant.
But if the commissioner wanted a belt and suspenders, what's the answer?
I suppose, yeah, there's nothing to preclude you from putting a condition that for those properties outside the master plan boundary that there's a restrictive covenant that they not be used for school purposes.
Well, I'll ask the attorney after you, but the second question is, what is the current code requirement in terms of landscaping the proposed parking lot? Do you know?
Well, there are two sets of landscape requirements. There's a perimeter landscape requirement that basically requires a five foot wide perimeter landscape buffer around the entire parking lot. That requires trees, and depending on the size of the tree, roughly 15 to 30 feet spaced, and 3 foot high shrubs around the perimeter of that parking lot. And then the second set of landscape standards is interior parking lot landscaping, and that is based on the number of parking spaces that they have. So there's an X square feet of landscaping you need per parking stall. And if I remember correctly, for a lot of this size, it would require I think four trees within the interior of the parking lot, and something like 25 shrubs within the interior of the parking lot.
So we saw a slide in the presentation made by the mm-hmm. applicant. Does that slide represent a good faith effort to capture what the code requires, or is it just a